The Daily Connect Podcast.
Hello, I'm Stephen Scott, and this is the Daily Connect Podcast for Friday, the 9th of November. Coming up, we'll be learning about the condition Charles Bonnet Syndrome and also some special events that are coming up to bring people together who have the condition. Also, we'll be joined by Amy Stewart from NI Sightlines to tell us about some audio-described theatre that is coming up over the next few weeks and months. And Chris Wallace will join us later as well. He's here with Something for the Weekend. But we start with news of a new position for a trustee at RNIB, and the man who has actually been charged with the responsibility of bringing in a new trustee has been speaking to Ellie Southwood, the chair of RNIB, about what's required.
My name is Ian Joseph, and I'm the CEO of Trustees Unlimited, and we're helping the RNIB to recruit new members for its board of trustees. I'm delighted to be able to ask Eleanor Southwood, the chair of the board, a few questions about what the board are looking for, which we hope will encourage some listeners to consider applying. Eleanor, great to speak with you again.
Thank you very much.
Firstly, can you tell me what you enjoy about leading the RNIB board, and why should people consider applying to join you?
It's an enormous privilege being RNIB's chair. And I think this year, of all years, has been, you know, incredible. It's been our 150th anniversary. So it's a time to reflect on where we've been as an organisation, but also what the experiences of blind and partially sighted people like myself have been over the past 150 years. Some things have certainly got better, but too much has definitely stayed the same. So I think, you know, if I was ever looking for inspiration for the role that I do, there is nothing that gives me more pride, I suppose, but also more determination as we sort of take the organisation forward to break down lots of the barriers that still exist. So it's why I got involved with RNIB in the first place, and it's why I'm absolutely delighted to be its chair now.
Fantastic. Thanks. The passion just is so forthcoming. But what previous experience do people need, and what are you looking for?
So it's really important to me that we have a diverse board of trustees. And when I say diverse, I mean diverse in terms of backgrounds and where people come from and the experiences they bring, and also in terms of skills. And crucially, I think, Ian, for our board at the moment, different parts of the country as well. So like lots of organisations, we struggle sometimes with being rather too London-centric, dare I say it. And so really, we are a UK organisation, and we have to have a board that is able to reflect, I think, you know, accurately our remit, but also is able to be a broad reflection of the blind and partially sighted people that we're here to serve. So we're a board with a commitment of at least 75% of our trustees being blind or partially sighted. And of course, given what we know about how many different eye conditions there are and what different people can see differently, then, you know, I think we also want to be able to reflect that. In terms of specific skills, we've done a lot of thinking about what a modern board needs to look like, and given our exciting plans for where RNIB is going in terms of us being able to equip people with what they need to, you know, not just to survive, but to really thrive in a modern world, to bring together communities and really make sure that people are able to connect with each other and with the help they need, all of which will help us change the world. We need outstanding people. Some of the main skills we're looking for are around some sort of business change, transformation type skills. So as an organisation, you know, we have still a huge amount of work to do to make sure that we're as, you know, responsive to what people actually want from us as we can be. And some of that isn't easy. Some of that is about change that can be quite difficult. But you know, on the board, I'd love to have people who have experience of that. Digital skills are really important in the modern era, and that's not just about, you know, online. It's also about making sure that people are as connected as they can be. Strategic finance is also really important. So, you know, it's important that we're able to see the shape of our organisation in numbers, if you like, as well as in words. And of course, safeguarding. Listeners will be aware that this year our regulators have put a real focus on RNIB in terms of our safeguarding practices. And my commitment as chair is that we really strengthen that so we can give real confidence to our regulators, but also to everyone we come into contact with. So somebody with some safeguarding experience in, you know, that could come from lots of different places would be great too. It's not a big ask, is it, at all, Ian?
Well, certainly not all in one person, that's for sure. But I'll come back, if I may, to the safeguarding issue in just a moment. But
of course.
Just one other question before that. A charity's board is responsible for the overall strategic leadership of the organisation. What is it that's on your board's agenda over the next year?
Well, I would flag, I think safeguarding and the whole compliance area is being really important. So listeners will be aware of new GDPR rules, things around how we manage people's data, making sure we're watertight with all of that is really important. Making sure that we are financially sustainable is really important too. And that's not just about keeping the auditors happy or, you know, having money to spend. It's also about making sure we're spending money in the right places. What are we really good at? Where can we make the biggest difference? So we've, you know, made some of those decisions already, but we will continue to need to do that and constantly review everything we do here at RNIB to make sure we are making the most of money, which, after all, isn't ours and is kindly donated by the public up and down the country.
Fantastic. If I could come back to the safeguarding issues. So as well as the trustee vacancies, we're also helping recruit for a member of the Regulated Services and Safeguarding Committee. Can you tell me and the listeners just a bit more about the committee's work and what you're looking for in a new member to that committee?
Of course. So this is a relatively new committee for us, and it partly came out of our own sort of reflections and responses to some of the regulatory concerns. So RNIB has several establishments or regulated environments, if you like, across our organisation. And also we have lots of volunteers who regularly go into people's homes or, you know, have contact with people. Safeguarding is a really important issue in all of those situations. Our Regulated Services and Safeguarding Committee is the place where the detailed work is done on, you know, it's not just enough to have to be told what is going on. It's the how do we know? So how do we know that we are doing all the right things in terms of safeguarding? How do we know that if someone has a concern, there is a correct process in place for them to raise that concern? And how do we know? How can trustees be confident about how those concerns are responded to? In any organisation, unfortunately, things sometimes do go wrong. And this is about making sure that if and when they do, the right things are happening to put it right.
Thank you. Final question from me. You know, some of our listeners will be thinking, wow, this sounds great. I'd love to get involved at the strategic level on the board, or possibly I've got the skills and experience to join the Regulated Services and Safeguarding Committee. On a practical note, what's the time commitment? What should people expect to get involved in beyond quarterly board or committee meetings?
It is I said earlier, it's an enormous privilege to be a trustee of this organisation. And I think the commitment we ask of our trustees is significant. So we have our formal trustee meetings, of course, and that goes for all of our subcommittees as well. So there is time to attend those meetings, but also, of course, to prepare for them. So reading papers, particularly for the Regulated Services and Safeguarding Committee, visiting some of our places across the UK to make sure that it's not just a paper exercise, that the members of that committee really understand the different sorts of services we are providing and what those different environments feel like, as well as what they look like in a table or on a piece of paper. So those are the kinds of commitments. I think in terms of trusteeship, I think probably it works out at about a day a month. And obviously, you know, anybody who's interested, that's a conversation that we would sort of need to have about how to make that work.
Brilliant. Eleanor, thank you so much for answering these questions, for showing us what it means to be on the board and on one of these committees. If you're listening and you're interested in finding out more, you can download an information pack from the Trustees Unlimited website. All the details on how to apply are in the pack. There's a Word version to make things easier. And the closing date for applications is soon. It's the 19th of November. So if you are interested, no time to lose. Please let us know, and we'll be really, really glad to hear from you. Thanks, Eleanor. Good luck for those that are listening and thinking of applying. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ian.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Now, today on the podcast, we found out about Charles Bonnet syndrome and a special event that's coming up to bring people together who have the condition. Basil Oxtoby has more.
I'm now joined in the studio by Judith Potts, who is the founder of Esme's Umbrella. Hello, Judith.
Hello, good morning.
Could you please explain what, first off, Esme's Umbrella is?
Esme's Umbrella is the only campaign to raise awareness of the Charles Bonnet syndrome. This, in case there's anybody who doesn't know what it is, this is a condition which can develop when a person loses over 60% of eyesight. This is from any of the myriad of eye diseases, cancer, stroke, or another disease, maybe like diabetes. It causes the brain not to slow down and stop. It fires up and creates its own images, which are hallucinations. These hallucinations range from disturbing to terrifying. For some people, they manage them very easily. They see pleasant things, bouquets of flowers or something very pretty or a beautiful scene. But for others, the hallucinations are very, very frightening. And my mother, Esme, said to me one day, she was in her early 90s and she lived a very independent life, lived on her own, was very happy. Until one day she said to me, "I do wish these people would get off my sofa." And of course, there wasn't anybody sitting on her sofa. And I was a little startled because she didn't appear to be losing her mind in any way. And then she went on to describe a gargoyle-like creature that jumped from table to chair. And worse for her, because she had been a children's nurse all her life, a Victorian tear-stained street child who followed her everywhere. And sometimes the whole room or the whole garden morphed into somewhere totally different. Once she found herself in the middle of an Edwardian funeral service, complete with the clergy in red cassocks, the horses with plumes. And she was, at first, she knew perfectly well they weren't real, but obviously she was very disturbed by them. But as the time went on, she found them almost impossible to live with. So on that day, I thought, well, I don't know what's wrong with her, but of course the word dementia hung in the air between us. But then I thought, well, it can't be that, because she completed the Telegraph cryptic crossword every day, which is more than I can do. And I didn't know what to do. I reassured her, and rather reluctantly, I left her and went home. And that very day, I was so lucky. I picked up one of the newspapers and read a tiny paragraph written by a chap called Matt Harrison, who I have met since, about his experience. He was a young man and he had lost his sight through, I think, RP, and was having hallucinations. And he knew they were called Charles Bonnet syndrome. And I thought, well, this is marvellous. Now I know what it is, we can do something about it. So I rang her, my mother's ophthalmologist, who refused point blank to speak to me about it. And I said, well, I know what it is, but I want to know what we can do. No, I don't discuss that. Absolutely refused. Even to the point, at her next appointment, he sent his junior doctor with strict instructions not to discuss Charles Bonnet syndrome. So then I turned to the GP, who'd never heard of it, and was very sceptical, and said she'd look into it, but that was the last we heard from her. My mum's optometrist had never heard of it, but to be fair to him, when I finally discovered what it was, he was very interested and promised he would ask all his patients in future.
So is there a reason that the ophthalmologist didn't want to know about it?
Well, I think the reason is that there is no consultant in the condition, and there's no medication really that works. there are a few drugs which can be used, but they have such terrible side effects that it's probably not worth even trying them. I think also that the condition's been known about for over 250 years, but it's always been dismissed very lightly as a side effect of sight loss. The hallucinations aren't real, so why is everyone making such a fuss? And I think that the doctors just don't have the time. I think that's probably another reason. But I did what we're always told not to do and went onto the internet and found Dr. Dominic Fitch at King's London, who is still the sole globally acknowledged expert in Charles-Bonnet syndrome. And I contacted him, and he has been marvellous. He explained to me about the brain firing up. He explained to me that there was no treatment really, and certainly not for my mum in her 90s, and no cure. So I put together some coping strategies, because we talked about having to shunt the brain into the next gear to kind of switch off the cells. And they include reaching out towards the hallucination, which is fine if it's not something so terrifying that you don't want to reach out just in case it's real. Clapping your hands. There are all sorts which are now on the website, which I've collected actually from people I've spoken to over the last 3 years. So in 2015, some years after my mum died, I decided something needed to be done. But I didn't know what to do. I was slightly reluctant. And I write a health column for The Telegraph. And I'd written about Charles-Bonnet quite often and said, we need to do something about this. And I got an email from a professor at a university in New York who explained to me that her mother had been put into a dementia unit, even though nobody really thought there was anything wrong with her, but she was hallucinating. The lady died in the unit. And she died in the unit because she could not get past the perceived slugs and worms on her food and in her drink. And so she stopped eating and drinking and faded away. No one in the unit had heard of Charles-Bonnet syndrome. No one reassured her. No one did anything. This professor said she would never forgive herself for doing this. And I thought, right, that's it. We cannot have this. Mm-hmm. So with the help of Dr. Sarah Williston, who is the chair of the health committee in the Commons, I launched the campaign. It isn't a charity, but I do have a restricted fund which sits under the auspices of Fight for Sight. And that money can only be used for research into Charles-Bonnet syndrome. So in the last 3 years, I, with the help of the Help and Information Service, I had a helpline and I have a website and an email address. And I have spoken to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people with this condition. And I know the distress it causes. And now, again, with the support of, in fact, the Royal College of Ophthalmologists, who invited me to speak at their Congress in Liverpool in May, I have kind of gone on to the attack and have implored ophthalmologists to warn their patients. The Macular Society just recently did some research, and only 17% of patients are warned that Charles-Bonnet might develop, which means that there are, goodness knows how many, sitting at home probably convinced they're developing a mental health issue and not saying anything to anybody. They don't confide in the GP or their family or friends.
Because they're scared about the possible ramifications.
They're so scared.
Don't go anywhere, because we'll be hearing more from Judith Potts about the Charles-Bonnet Syndrome Patients' Day after this.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Yes, more on that to come. But first, to the Orbit Reader. Yes, this is the Braille display that was brought out by RNIB this year. And, you know, it's one of the most affordable Braille displays that are out there, which is great news. But what is it, and how can you get your hands on one? Well, let's find out now from Claire Maxwell, one of the people who behind the products team in RNIB.
The Orbit Reader 20 is a 20-cell Braille note taker stroke reader. It's been designed primarily as a standalone device to enable people to read their Braille on the go. So it works by loading your content onto an SD card. or by connecting it to a smartphone or a device, your Windows machine, your Apple, whatever it is that you happen to have, and allowing you then to read commercially available titles as well through apps like Kindle, iBooks, etc. So, as I said, by connection, it connects via Bluetooth or USB as well. So it does all of those four things. The Braille is what we call signage quality. So I don't know if you've ever been out and about and you felt the Braille on buttons and lists and things. It's very, very firm to press down on. I've actually got an Orbit here in front of me and I'm just going to do that. And pressing down on the dots here, they don't move at all. So they're very firm. They're very much very raised up. So for those who may struggle with sensitivity as well, that is a fantastic point. The Braille note takers and Braille displays have been around for a long time. But I think that the big point really to mention here is that the Orbit Reader makes that more affordable. So it's, you know, whereas before you were paying for thousands of pounds for a device, you're now only paying hundreds of pounds, which, you know, yes, it is still, you know, a good chunk of money, but it's a lot more affordable to people. It is available for £449, but Connect members will benefit from the discounted price of £399. So you can see it is significantly reduced, you know, the cost of refreshable Braille. So it's available today on our website, on our shop at www.rnib.org.uk/shop. And it's one of our featured products on there. Our helpline are ready and waiting to take your call. So if you want to give them a call on 0303 123 9999, they'll be ready to help you.
Sounds good, Claire. Thank you for sharing. The Daily Connect podcast. Now, let's get back to our conversation that Baz Loxtaby was having earlier with Judith Potts from the organisation Esme's Umbrella. Now, earlier we learned about what Charles Bonnet syndrome is, but now let's find out about some upcoming patient days.
The reason we're talking today is because you've launched the right word, the first ever patient's day.
The first ever patient's day is happening on the 16th of November at Moorfields with the great support of UCL and Moorfields. Each year we have had an awareness day and people around the country have done all sorts of things to raise money. They've baked cakes, they've done all kinds of things. But I knew that we had to actually make it more scientific and more formal. And Dr. Maria Musaji came to me. She is a consultant ophthalmologist at Moorfields and she heard me speak at something and she said, we're going to do this. And they have been amazing. And so I'm now keeping my fingers tightly crossed that the day is as successful as I want it to be. It is for the CBS community. So as many people with the condition as possible, I hope, will be there. The details of how to get there, how to book your tickets through Eventbrite are on my website. We have Dr. Dominic Fitch, of course, will be speaking. And in the last couple of years, I have managed to fund, through donations from Fight for Sight, the Thomas Pocklington Trust and the National Eye Research Centre, which is down in Bristol, a researcher at Newcastle University, Dr. Greg Elder. He is looking at the brains of people with sight loss who develop Charles Bonnet syndrome and comparing them to the brains of people with sight loss who don't. There are some people who don't. If we can identify the difference, that would be amazing because that would lead us towards treatment and a cure. So he is also working with Dr. John Paul Taylor, who is funded by the Macular Society, and he is looking at a way of introducing, I think, I'm not a scientist, electrical impulses into the brain to switch off the cells that are firing. So they are going to come and speak on the day. And then we have two people who live with Charles Bonnet syndrome. They will come and give us their experiences. And of course, Dr. Maria Musaji will speak. And then the afternoon is given over to the community and they can talk to the researchers, compare experiences and coping strategies, and we'll see if we can also launch some more Esme Room support groups around the country. There are a few that have started in local low vision charities, so that people with Charles Bonnet can come and talk to others, because this is the terrible thing. The loneliness and the isolation of sight loss in itself is bad enough, but the double whammy of then getting hallucinations is so, so hard.
So if there's anybody listening that would like some more information, could you let them know the website, or if there's a helpline they can call for information or help?
There is. Now, I did have my own helpline, but unfortunately fell foul of GDPR. So the RNIB have picked it up for me, which is absolutely marvellous. And the helpline there is 0207 391 3299. And it is the RNIB's iHealth team who will answer. If you would like to speak to somebody who is experiencing Charles Bonnet syndrome, as you are, the team will refer you to RP Fighting Blindness, because their team there are mostly people with Charles Bonnet. And so their helpline is always answered, and they can talk in a very knowledgeable and understanding way. What I would like to do is get a series of counsellors around the country who would, for nothing at all, of course, pro bono always, offer some counselling, because until we get a way of treating this, it's going to be counselling that will work, and reassurance and education.
Well, Judith Potts, thank you very much for speaking to us here at RNIB Connect Radio.
My great pleasure. Thank you for having me.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Remember, there's more details on all of these organisations on RNIB Sightline, which is a really important website to go to. I just search for RNIB Sightline, and there's a full list of all kinds of charities and organisations around the UK helping blind and partially sighted people. Great resource. Now, speaking of Sightline, well, what about Sightlines? That's Northern Ireland's Sightlines, an audio-described theatre company that do their bit to help audio-describe performances of theatre across Northern Ireland. Well, let's find out about the upcoming ones from Amy Stewart.
Hi, I'm Amy, one of the audio describers with NI Sightlines in Northern Ireland. I'm here with an update about some of the audio described shows that are coming up in and around Belfast in the next month or two. Starting off with Dear Arabella at the Lyric on Thursday the 8th of November at 7:45 p.m. That's Mary Jones' new show. It's getting really good reviews, so well worth checking out if you get the time. Next up is The Band at the Grand Opera House on Saturday the 17th of November at 2:30 p.m. That features the music of Take That and the stars of the BBC show Let It Shine. And after that, we're well and truly into Panto season. Oh no, we're not. Yes, we are. And it kicks off with The Elves and the Shoemaker at the Mac on Saturday the 8th of December at 5 p.m. That show's repeated on Friday the 4th of January at 10:30 a.m. Next, there's Alice the Musical at Lyric Theatre on Sunday the 9th of December at 2:30 p.m. And then there's something a little bit more adult and less traditional with the Grimes and McKee show Bah Humbug at the Lyric on Thursday the 3rd of January at 7:45. Their last show was hilarious at Christmas, and I'd really recommend it. And then there's the big panto Jack and the Beanstalk at the Grand Opera House. That's bringing up the rear on Saturday the 5th of January at 7 p.m. If you want to get in touch with any of the theatres, I'll give you the numbers now. The Grand Opera House is 028 9024 1919. The Lyric is 028 9038 1081. And the Mac is 028 9023 5053. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back again sometime in December with news of the shows that are coming up in the spring.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Thanks, Amy. Now it is Friday, it is the weekend, which means it's time for
Connect Radio.
It's Friday, and you know that that means it's time for another Something for the Weekend. A little corner of RNIB Connect Radio where we tell you all the best that's up and coming in the world of entertainment over the next few days. We're looking at streaming services, the cinema, audio-described theatre performances, music, and of course concerts as well. Now let's start today with streaming services, and we're going to Netflix today. Outlaw King is released this weekend. It's a true David and Goliath story of how the great 14th century Scottish outlaw king, Robert the Bruce, used cunning and bravery to defeat and repel the much larger and better equipped occupying English army.
We need to unite Scotland.
Robert the Bruce is an outlaw. Any man or woman who would give shelter to him or his ranks is to be executed without trial.
The people are desperate for justice.
I serve Robert Bruce! Join us to free our land!
I have 50 men to fight the strongest army in the world. This is how we do it. Take the land back, castle by castle.
And goodbye for God. Do not care. So long as you fight!
So if you're a scholar of history or a fan of Braveheart, or let's face it, Scottish in any way, you will know about Robert the Bruce. Chris Pine, the American actor known for his roles in Wonder Woman and, of course, James T. Kirk in Star Trek, takes on the role from a movie directed by David Mackenzie, who also directed Pine in Hell or High Water. Now, this movie is already getting significant praise and attention. The reasons being, well, apparently it's rather historically accurate, unlike Mel Gibson's Braveheart. The other reason, well, Chris Pine is full frontal at one point in this movie. But whatever gets you along to the viewing on Netflix, it is available as of today. You can watch that on your favourite streaming service, and of course be sure to let us know what the audio description is like. Now let's jump to the cinema, and there's one for kids at Christmas coming to the cinema this weekend. It's The Grinch.
Today we will do mean things, and we will do them in style.
Oh, hello.
Happy holidays.
What's this?
Excuse me, are you getting that?
No.
So if you know the song or you know the Jim Carrey movie, then you know the story of the grumpy Grinch who plots to ruin Christmas for the village of Whoville. It is, of course, a Dr. Seuss story, so expect lots of rhyming, although the trailers so far have not been particularly dialogue-heavy. They're focusing on the animation that comes from the Illumination Studios, who brought you Despicable Me and Minions. The voice talent on this animated adventure are Pharrell Williams as the narrator, Rashida Jones as a Whoville resident, and of course, Benedict Cumberbatch as the Grinch himself. I'm sure this movie will be playing right up until Christmas, so you've got plenty of time to check it out at the cinema. And why not take along the kids as well? One that you won't want to take the kids to is Overlord. This is the story of two American soldiers trapped behind enemy lines on D-Day. They have more than the enemy to fear as they encounter a bunch of zombified experiments gone wrong. Is it an alien conspiracy? Is it secret Nazi experimentation? Well, if you know any history of this movie, then you will know that the original title was Cloverfield Overlord. The Cloverfield series started as a series produced by J.J. Abrams way back in the early 2000s. It was followed by Cloverfield Lane, which purported to be a story of a kidnapping in an underground bunker, but at some point did reveal aliens. And that was followed by Cloverfield Paradox, which was about a space mission gone wrong. So, we can hypothesize that removing the name Cloverfield from the title means that they're trying to cover up the fact that it's probably aliens involved in this one. The trailer, I'm sure, is far too scary for this time of day, but it is available at the cinema this weekend. If you would like to see Overlord or The Grinch, do make sure you check your local cinemas for AD listings across the country before you book. Let's now go to the theatre and what is being audio described at the Victoria Palace Theatre this weekend. Well, it's a big one. The cousin committed suicide. Left him with nothing but ruin, pride. Something new inside a voice saying, Alex, you gotta fend for yourself. He started retreating and reading every treatise on the shelf. Multi-award winning Broadway play Hamilton arrives in London and it's audio described this Saturday at 2:30 p.m. The Touch Tour starts at 12 noon for a 12:15 tour start. The show starting at 2:30 p.m. Created by Lin-Manuel Miranda, Hamilton is the story of America's founding father, Alexander Hamilton, an immigrant from the West Indies who became George Washington's right-hand man during the Revolutionary War and helped shape the very foundations of the America we know today. The score for Hamilton blends hip-hop, jazz, blues, rap, R&B and Broadway. The story of America then, as told by America now. That's Hamilton. Audio described at the Victoria Palace Theatre in London this weekend. Tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. for a touch tour starting at 12 noon. The show is audio described, as always, by Vocal Eyes. Now, if you're a fan of music, there's some entertainment for you this weekend. If you're in and around the Cardiff area this Monday, why not check out Gary Newman? He's playing St David's Hall on Monday at 7 p.m. Synthpop superstar Gary Newman marks 40 years in the music business with his most spectacular light show for decades. Plus, for this special tour, he will be joined by the Ska Paris Orchestra. Expect songs such as Cars, Our Friends Electric and Down in the Park. But if you're not in the Cardiff area, or maybe you just don't fancy a gig this weekend, well, why not pick up a CD? Ollie Murs releases his brand new CD, You Know, I Know, and the deluxe double CD edition features a secondary album. Following the release of his swaggering new single, Moves, featuring Snoop Dogg, Ollie Murs returns with his dazzling new album, You Know, I Know, which is out on RCA Records this weekend. The album is a landmark release for Ollie, who celebrates a decade at the top with this, his sixth album. Two discs that feature a brand new album and a sparkly hits collection of songs everyone knows. And the other album is songs only I know, says Ollie. For now. Highlights include the glorious Love Me Again, Feel the Same featuring Nile Rodgers on guitar, the title track You Know I Know featuring Shaggy, and of course his brand new single Moves featuring Snoop Dogg. So why not pick up that CD and treat yourself this weekend? If there's anything in the world of entertainment you're looking forward to over the next few months, or if you've had a particularly good AD experience on streaming services, in the cinema, at the theatre, or in the concert halls, then be sure to let us here at RNIB Connect Radio know by tweeting at RNIB Radio, or you can find us on Facebook, RNIB Connect Radio. That's it for another weekend. I'll be back with you next Friday with a little more Something for the Weekend.
Connect Radio.
Fabulous. Thank you for that. As always, Chris, that is Something for the Weekend. And that's it for the show this week. Remember, the radio show is back Monday morning from 10, live on RNIB Connect Radio on Freeview Channel 730 and online and on smart speakers. Just say play RNIB Connect Radio. And you can do that over the weekend as well with all the shows we'd have. Lots of great stuff there. Check out the website for full details, rnibconnectradio.org. daily.co.uk. Podcast is also back Monday from 5. Have a great weekend. The Daily Connect Podcast.